You're probably familiar with the first verse of the children's song, "I Am the Church," a refresher. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is a people. I always wondered if the authors of that song had ever been to Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, St. Paul's in London, or St. Peter's in Rome. Or, this is a little bit more of a stretch, if they ever had the opportunity to celebrate the 140th birthday celebration anniversary of the Church of the Good Shepherd in Burke, Virginia. Next week, we travel up the road for our 10:15 a.m. service to celebrate the Eucharist at the building that used to be our physical church. We get to be time travelers, to go back in time, moving backwards all the way to 1878, all in the span of a couple hours, barely even leaving Braddock Road. This is a tremendous gift, and there are people in this room who have worked very, very hard over the last few weeks and will do so in the next few days. But you only turn 140 once. We get this opportunity to recollect, to remember who we were, who we are, and who the Holy Spirit is calling us to be. Telling our stories helps us understand who we are. How might our stories start? How about this way? There once was a church in the land of Burke named Good Shepherd. That church was blameless and upright, one that feared God and turned away from evil. That description is too good to be true, but it's piqued your interest. What's going to happen next? Could a church actually exist that is that good? Does God favor this church more because of its goodness? Our Old Testament reading begins with such a description of our hero Job, and as we read, things don't go very well for him. There's so much there. Is this incredible book of the Bible performs its own act of time travel, reaching forward and grabbing us by the collar with a genius and a difficulty that the preacher does well to steer clear of. I will concentrate on just one part, the fact that Job clearly exists outside of history. He is a fantastic character who defies identification in time and place. He's from the magical land of Uz, which sounds a lot like Oz to me, but actually is in the east somewhere, an area that conveys mystery and great wisdom. Think of the Magi from the Christmas narrative. The text also states that Job possesses wealth beyond that of even the patriarchs Abraham and Joseph. He possesses a faith in God that's truly remarkable. Job lives, therefore, in a never-never land of myth and fable. But somehow, for me, and I think for most of us, the story cuts to the heart of one's reality, what's most real in our lives. Job is more real than most individuals in the Bible. Despite existing outside of history, Job is entirely present to us in 2018. Job is the inspiring leader cut short in life. Job is the wonderfully saintly figure in a family who suffers senselessly. Job is the child whose death shakes our confidence in the Almighty to its very core. Therefore, the story of Job shows what Scripture can do, what God's Word can do, how it can move across chronology and geography and plant itself under our very noses, defying all laws of physics. According to the children's song, that's what the church does as well. The church does not rest in one place, but exists wherever the people are. Here's the third verse of the song, "I Am the Church." Sometimes the church is marching, sometimes it's bravely burning, sometimes it's running, sometimes hiding. Always, it is learning. So the church and the good shepherd is where the people are. During church is here, ESOL and AA, the church staff that meets in this building. The church is also in the meals and facets and foods for the soul, planned to deliver to the hungry. The church is with our youth as they rebuild others' homes at Camp Hope and so on. We are a restless people on the move, never getting too comfortable in the buildings that we inhabit. The ancient churches had no seats. Modern liturgical architecture even looks down on a carpet because that conveys a stability and a laziness. These are all good things to remember. The church is the people. Particularly with a denomination and a diocese, I think it's fair to say, pays a good deal of attention to its buildings. And yet, ours is an incarnational tradition, which means we inhabit this world in our flesh and our blood. We have a history. We are timber and concrete. Perhaps then one way of looking at next week is saying it's like traveling back to the house that you grew up in, or the house that your parents grew up in, or the house that your spouse grew up in. You may not remember that you lived there. You may not really have that much interest that your spouse or parent lived there. But you would probably agree that part of you, by virtue of your relationship with your loved one, is also there. We are pretty sure of the 1878 date for Good Shepherd's founding. Dating books of the Bible, particularly the book of Job, is a little bit harder. Scholars estimate that it could have been written somewhere between the 8th century and the 2nd century BCE. It recalls a comment by a famous church father that trying to understand, trying to grab on to the book of Job is like holding on to a slippery eel. Whenever you grab one end, the other end comes out. But remember the Jewish understanding of history. The Jews celebrated the Exodus and Passover, not merely as historical memory, so that they, in the present, are experiencing the Exodus and the Passover again and again and again. The book of Joshua reminds the Jewish people, your own eyes have seen what I did to the Egyptians. What your ancestors saw is what you saw. God's rescue of them implicates you. Obliges you, is for you. Telling the story brings it alive, bring the past into the present. Each man is obligated to see himself as if he came out of Egypt. Think about telling our stories, connect us mystically across generations elsewhere. How, for example, the hidden celebration of the Passover in a European ghetto in World War II, where the Seder finishes with the words, next year in Jerusalem. That celebration is connected then to the witness of African-American slaves in the American South. How when they sang those songs, Go Down Moses, or Wade in the Water, those were the same songs that the Israelites were singing coming out of Egypt. They were all dangerous, risky, heroic time travelers. I know that's too much to put on us. Thankfully, the stakes are much lower next week. But if on the 14th, there's a driving rain, the bus breaks down, we get cited for unlawful gathering, thrown off to jail, remember, we're not just simply reenacting something from the past or engaging in nostalgia of checking the box. What I believe is going to happen when we go to the old church next week is I think time and space will collapse through our liturgy, that the presence of one another together in community, and most of all, God's love for us, will transport and transform us beyond who we are. As a church, whenever and wherever we go to celebrate and share that love, that's where we are. Singing that same song, praying those same prayers, reading from that same scripture, collapsing geography and chronology, proclaiming, "We are Good Shepherd." Amen.